Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity
Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, recording in Sydney and joined by Mary Ellen, the Chief Marketing Officer for WP Engine. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We're going to talk about online experiences. So WP Engine is associated with WordPress and websites and content creation, I suppose, and online content creation. We're going to talk about fake news, authenticity, the death of the website and how that's changing, and also dark data. So we'll have a general conversation, but maybe start with introducing yourself and, why are you in Sydney as well?
Well, happy to. WP Engine is the world's leading WordPress digital experience platform. So what that means, WordPress actually powers about 32% of the web, all the sites on the internet. It's the largest CMS out there. And we've got a platform for people who build on and build with WordPress that allows you to have quick agility to make quick sites, get them to market, have an intelligence, is it working? It can integrate with other systems or other MarTech that you have at your company. And then most importantly, which is how we were founded, does it perform? Is it fast? Is it secure in the cloud, et cetera? We've got about over 80,000 customers, and they represent 600,000 websites across the globe. We are here in Australia, and actually we're here for an event and meeting with agencies and brands who also use WordPress and use WP Engine.
Where are you based otherwise?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, is that where head office, Austin?
It is. Yeah, it is. Okay. We've been around 8 years. We are headquartered in Austin, Texas, and then have offices in San Francisco and in San Antonio in the States. We are in London in the UK, in Ireland, and then here in Australia.
Okay. Well, let's talk about websites generally. And I've got a sort of a piece here called The Death of the Website. What's happening in websites? And I liked just you talked about MarTech. I've heard FinTech and AgTech. So for those in the audience, it's marketing technology,
which is
fascinating because it really this is how we're all getting sold to, and our digital experience is being designed for us, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, you know, having been in marketing 20 some years, the rise of the demand that marketing really has to have an ROI and how are you really able to get to your customers has just gotten astronomical and the pressure. And I think when we say MarTech, the MarTech stack, you know, in 2011, there were 150 tools that you could buy or sign up with. There's now 7,000 in 2018. So you really can have a technology to get at the data that you need no matter what it is. And it's really then becomes a huge challenge for marketers and organizations of how do we make sure all that data is talking together and is integrated, is secure, et cetera, things like that.
Well, it sort of leads into that dark data discussion as well. What should a sort of, in terms of that MarTech, and if you're running a website or a mobile app, what are some of those key fundamentals that you should be thinking about? You talked about that sort of data integration, but maybe coming back from the user's experience, really what should be trying to achieve and where are we going over the next sort of 18 months, 2 years?
Yeah, great questions. I think there's probably to dissect that in two ways. One is kind of why are we having to do so much of this data mining and this whole trend, and it's really about the generations now, and the user, the digital consumer, wants this predictive personalization. They really have this expectation. We have a stat that 44% of Gen Z, the youngest out there, who are 21 now, are going to leave your site if you don't anticipate what they need. And they are the first generation that doesn't know the world without the internet. So the expectation that everything is going to be personalized for what I need and that you're anticipating that is really giving rise to we have to have more data, we have to customize and personalize. So that's kind of, you know, what's happening behind the scenes. And I can speak to marketing, but I assume that every function is also feeling that same pressure of that. It's got to be predictive and personalized, and you need to have data in which to do that.
Okay, so there's a there's a number of questions rolling around in my mind. The first one is, the more predictive we come. So one of the predictions I've been told or hear is by 2025, most of us will have a personal avatar that will kind of be assisting us. We're going to touch on voice as well and chatbots. So the more predictive our online, or the more predictive you're making the online experience, the more that is actually going to generate an avatar type possibility, I suppose, where it's so predictive you just ask, or it will already know what you're doing. Is that foreseeable for you?
I think I can't quite speak to the avatar, but I think your question around that immediacy and am I getting that value prop and that information back as quickly as possible, it's absolutely, you're starting to see this. You know, one of the other data was, you know, 55% of people think it's a website's going to be more human and more emotional. And that is born out of this need to say, well, I can immediately ask Siri or voice activated, and it tells me immediately what I need.
Yep.
There's this sense of, I want to get it right now. And I maybe verbally talk to you to get that information. I may type it into a keyboard. I think it's changing so rapidly that it is actually this, I want it to be predictive. I want it to be personalized, and I want it now.
And I just want to ask for it. So again, most websites now, you know, I went to a couple this morning and they had chatbots there. Sort of ready to go, but waiting for me to text. But again, is that something you're seeing now that, you know, most websites, and you have those plugins, I imagine, WP Engine?
We do have the plugins. I think, honestly, right now, in the expectation from consumer is it's going to be more predictive. You just mentioned I went to a chat box and I typed something in. I probably think where we are today generally is personalization. You know, if you give us some information, I can, we have a tool called GeoTarget. I can tell you where you're coming from, so I know, you know, where. But most sites and digital experience right now are doing a lot on personalization, but the expectation is it's going to be predictive. So I think we're moving in that direction. There's lots and lots of tools out there to personalize once I have the information. Chatbot is one example of that.
How are you handling the privacy aspect of that too? You mentioned dark data, which is dark meaning we don't know where it is, or it's sort of that dark space, but which is a danger in itself. In terms of its aggregation of data, in terms of what that can say, but also the more predictive sites are, where's the line for you, other than maybe a regulation, a regulatory line like the GDPR?
Yeah, I think the line is right now being driven by the consumer. And I'll give you an example, again, back to this generational research. 45% of Gen Z said they would be happy to give you personal information, and they valued that over privacy. So it's an interesting dynamic that a young generation, there's a customer we have here in Australia, MyDNA, and you would look at that as very private information that you're giving. But I think people are willing to give that information if they see the value proposition back. So then that takes you down the fact of, is security actually going to become a competitive advantage for a brand? Right now, I think my generation would say, oh, we're fearful, versus this next one is fearless. So if I'm a brand that can provide great security and use that data in a way that really has this amazing value prop, I'm going to win. So I think that's kind of what's happening in the background. From a product perspective, you know, we have 600,000 sites that are on the WP Engine platform. We need to provide security. We actually block over 2 million a day of you know, malicious attacks. We're updating the plugins. You know, as you're asleep, it's getting better. What we found this year was there's even a further, we've added another security product on there that looks at, it's at the edge, the global edge product, which has DDoS mitigation, SSL, WAF rules. And so I think that, again, back to that concept of how can I use security to be a competitive advantage? Now clients and brands are really saying, I need lots of different layers of security, because the end game is I want to give you a value. You're giving me your information. I want to give you something valuable back.
Do you, how long have you been in your role? I was just wondering.
It's about 3 years.
Okay. So it would have been a good couple of years ago. WordPress was seen. There's a lot of exploits out there for WordPress. Is that something you think has gone through that journey of, okay, we really have to focus on security from an engine point of view?
I think that WordPress in general has evolved and grown so much in the last 3 years, and to be 32 plus percent of the web. And so with that enterprise grade, if you will, that it is secure and it's not the old thing that you might have thought, as far as there's a lot of myth busting that needs to go on with that. And so I think, you know, interesting, when we look at big enterprises, you know, big companies, are they even using WordPress, or are they using an Adobe or Sitecore or some other CMS? And we actually find that a high percentage of them are using two CMSs. So a lot of big enterprises are now actually using WordPress, and they wouldn't be using it if they didn't feel that it was secure, because obviously they have lots of systems and a lot of data they want to protect. So I think that myth is fading away, and it's something we're really keen on making sure that we have multiple security products, constantly doing those plugins so that it's seamless for people to make sure they're comfortable.
Great. I should disclose, we use WordPress across all of our channels, so we've not had any security issues, but we're defending all the time. Our firewall's constantly being tested. But in terms,
I think
of,
everybody is. Just a WordPress. It's really every CMS and the sophistication of people. And as I said, you know, how do we move from this mindset of we need to be fearless around this and constantly getting ahead on what's the next step?
Yeah. Well, it's not the best practice. It's the best security in terms of what you can have. You can never be 100% secure. So it's just doing whatever you possibly can and what is reasonable. Let's finish on fake news and authenticity and your observations around that. I mean, we've even covered things like deep fake. So when you talk about fake news and authenticity, I suppose there's two aspects to that. One is the generation of fake news and fake websites and these types of things. And you talked about how easy it is to generate content online. What's the process of authenticity around that, or authenticating that type of content from a user's experience as well?
Yeah, I think the you know, one of the challenges, and certainly fake news has been out there in the media very strong in the last 12 to 18 months.
It's not just a Trump term. It's a reality to it as well, right?
It's really global. I mean, you know, we see it almost in every country we work in, that concept of is this real? Is this authentic? And I think a couple things are driving that. One is just the sheer dependency we have on the digital experience. You know, 50% of the population can't go more than less than 5 hours. That is an amazing amount. So we're constantly online. We've got 5 devices, from our phone to our laptop to our watch to whatever. So we're constantly connected. So that dependency is somewhat giving rise to this, I need to be fed with that news.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that we see is the more that the digital experience becomes more human, as you mentioned, you know, I can talk to it, I can do these things. There is this human element that you want the news to feel authentic. You have opinions about it very, very quickly and that turn. So I think the challenge is going to be, as the years to come, is for brands and for companies, you've got to have a point of view. And that may not always be popular, but you have to be consistent across how in your content, every time you're putting it out there, so it doesn't feel that it's fake, that it's factual. Yeah. You need to make sure that it's factual. So it's a changing dynamic overall. And then I do think we have to be diligent on, is it actually factually based?
Well, I mentioned brands have to do the same thing. They've got to make sure that the feedback they're getting back, or any complaints or, you know, reputation type attacks, is also authentic in its way. I imagine this could be moving into a corporate realm of sort of corporate anti-competitiveness.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's this fascinating statistic again with this generational, the Gen Z, the youngest, they don't mind advertising, But it has to be an authentic, it has to be a real person. They don't want to see famous people.
Or robocalls and those
Absolutely. Things. They really want it to feel that they can trust who they're talking to. And I think the other change is that purpose-driven people, you know, want to believe in your brand and they want to be a part of it. So I think the more that a brand could incorporate somebody in to be one of their own influencers, whether they're sharing that content or helping contribute to it, will really help make that authenticity sing more than because you're actually your users are part of your brand. And that is something both millennials, Gen Z, they're excited to do that. They want to be a part of your brand. So it'll be interesting to see if we can let the fake news go away and kind of get back to a more even keel.
I always worry, we've talked about the avatars before, by the time you get a personal avatar, you don't want to make, you don't want your fake avatar sort of taking
true.
Over. So the challenge won't stop. Well, we've been joined by Mary Allen, the CMO for WP Engine. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your stay in Sydney.
Thank you, it's my pleasure. Wonderful to be here to visit.
Appreciate it.
You.
Thanks for coming on the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thank you.